The subject is the iniquity of sin. And this is part two. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. It said, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Our objective is understanding iniquity, the iniquity of sin. And our second objective is knowing what to do about the iniquity of sin. In the scripture we just read, the Bible makes a clear distinction between iniquity and sin. It says one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, which means they are different. If iniquity and sin were the same, he wouldn't have said for any iniquity or for any iniquity, because if they are the same, you repeat it again. Or for any sin or for any sin. No. In Psalm 32, verse 5, it gives us an understanding. He said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So there is the iniquity that is the product of sin. Or that is the progression of sin. Having said that, I said in the first service that sin goes beyond offending God by our actions. Sin goes beyond the breaking of God's commandments. It goes beyond the breaking of God's commandments. There is iniquity of sin. And what is it all about? I studied and researched and I realized that the iniquity of sin refers to the collateral damages or ravages of sin. We saw that in the first service. The secondary effects of sin. In addition to that, in this service, the iniquity of sin will refer also to the extensive negative impacts of sin. So one, it is the collateral damages or ravages of sin, or the secondary effects of sin. And then it is the extensive negative impacts of sin. In the first service, we saw the example of David and the iniquity of sin that happened to David. In this second service, we are looking at the example of Solomon and the damages and the ravages of sin that happened to Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 11, from verse 1 all the way to verse 11, the Bible said, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nation concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Verse 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commandment and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from you and give it to thy servant. Beloved, inside here is loaded the collateral damages of sin in the life of David, Solomon. I believe that what Solomon went out for was purely adventure, purely experiment. This one is tall, this one is short, this one is light, this one is slim, this one is Indian, this one is Caucasian, this one is African, this one is this. Until he acquired 1,000 to himself. And he realized that the experiment didn't stop there. He proceeded further to his destruction. First of all, his heart was turned away from following his God to other gods. Anytime you join yourself with any strange personality, they turn your heart to their gods. From the God of Israel. Secondly, Solomon introduced strange altars into Israel. That is, the whole land of Israel, he was advertising to them other gods. Thirdly, the kingdom was torn away from the house of David because of the iniquity of Solomon. Finally, his life ended in emptiness. That was why he will say in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and in verse 2, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 8, vanity upon vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. The primary sin was the sin of immorality. But the collateral damages, the iniquity of it, is one thing to say, to go after a strange girl or a strange woman or man. And return back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. But it's another thing altogether to abandon the God of your father that made you king in the room of your father and follow the dumb gods of those strange women. God said, your immorality was sin. Your sin was immorality. But your iniquity was idolatry. You committed sin with the immorality, but that sin led you to idolatry. That sin led you to not just idolatry, but erecting idols and shrines for other God. It led you to the breaking of my covenant with David. It led you to a life of emptiness. Beloved, when you follow a road, you end where that road takes you. That was what happened to Solomon. There is the iniquity of sin. And this iniquity of sin, the damages are caused to yourself, they are caused to God, and they are caused to your neighbors. I'll give you a few examples in this service. Look at, for example, the liar, the false accuser, the conspirator. Yesterday, I spoke with one of my classmates.
We finished school together.
This young man, in our Form 5, that was what it was for many of you who know at that time, not SS1 or 2, Form 5. One of the students in the school reported him that he went to a mixed school, boys and girls. He reported him that he caught him and a girl, a junior student who was in fifth year. The girl was in maybe second year or third year. That he caught him and a girl in immorality inside the school. That is punishable by expulsion. This boy's father was a teacher in school. When the school authority heard that, we had already registered for WAEC. The girl was in second year or so. She was kicked out instantly. The boy was expelled from school, but he was to return back to school to write the exam only. The pain of it was terrible. The shame of it was terrible. The girl went back to her home to her father and said, "I didn't do anything like that." The father disowned her, cut her off from the house. This girl suffered. In fact, she was disconnected from her father till maybe the man passed, went to the university. As at the time this boy lied against this little girl, she was still a virgin. She was a virgin till graduation from university. Now, look at the impact of such a lie. 26 years later, the liar called and said, "I'm sorry." What? 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 He said, "I've been looking for you to apologize." He said, "What did I do?" He said, "I just envied you." He said, "You were shining too much in school." And then he conspired with some teachers that were angry at the boy's father, his prominence. Lied on a man and on a girl. A lie that brought pain and shame and reproach and heartache. Disgrace, ignominy. This girl could have committed suicide, but she remained. This girl could have gone wayward. "Oh, they say I did something I didn't do. Okay, I'm going to do it." The sin of that boy was the lie. The iniquity of that boy was the shame and the reproach and the pain. He cursed both the boy and the girl and the father and the family. Am I communicating at all? And God will say, "I will deal with you for the sin, for lying. I will also deal with you for the pain you caused, for the shame you caused, for the embarrassment you caused, for conspiring." You know, as you are seated there now, there are several human entities, if you represent anything in your generation, that are in a conspiracy to see how to collapse you. Do you know that? God has exposed me to the nature of man in detail. Apart from God, the number of human beings you can trust are few. Very scanty. In short supply. There are human beings that are worse than demons. There are people who laugh with you, who kill you at the back. (Laughs) That's the nature of man for you. And God said, I deal with you for the lie, but I deal with you for the pains. I deal with you for the consequences, for the collateral damage, except you repent. Look at that example. What about the example of the lecturer who fails a girl in school only because the girl refused to have anything to do with the man? You want to see morality before you pass exam and you said no. Then you make a girl that is meant to graduate with second class upper to repeat a whole year. The sin is the action. The iniquity is the pain of the injustice that you caused the little girl. Refusing her what she rightly deserved. How many of you know there is pain in injustice? The iniquity was the sin was the action. The iniquity was the pain, the embarrassment, the shame of failure that the girl had to pass through because she cannot explain to everybody. Nobody knew what happened. And she can't explain to everybody. All they knew is she failed the exam. The pain of failure. Am I communicating? The iniquity of it also includes the cost to the parents of keeping the child in school for one more year. Say, lecturer, you are lustful. All you wanted was to have immorality with someone's child. And now you have cost the man 500,000 more to keep her for one more year. God said, for your lust, I deal with you. And for the loss you cost that family, I deal with you double. Is somebody still hearing what I'm saying here today? What about the pain and the embarrassment of the parents who looked forward to their child graduating with her mates? And they looked forward to actually being there and the child couldn't graduate with their mates because of one lecturer who was mindful of his own flesh and doesn't care the consequences. Is God speaking to anybody here? What about the contractor that has been paid government money? He has been given government money and given the job. But because of greed and fraudulent activity, he did a shoddy job and the house collapsed. The building collapsed. People died. There was pain. There was vacuum. There was losses. All he wanted was big money as a greedy man, but lives were lost. God will say, I will handle you for the monies you took that you didn't work for. And I will also handle you for the lives that perished because of your action. Am I communicating at all? It is important for us to understand the consequences of these things. The action doesn't stop with lying. The action does not stop with stealing. The issue doesn't stop with looking for a man or a woman. The things that follow. And this is the major part of it. Iniquity has generational consequence. Exodus chapter 34 verse 7, we saw that in the first service. It has generational consequence. Concerning God, he said God is keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. We are in Africa today, and I'm aware that there are many Africans today that are paying the price for the pains that their parents caused to people. Pains caused. pains that were cost to God and cost to people. I heard of a family, a popular family in America, whose father, I think their grandfather, raped a housemaid. And that housemaid placed a curse on that family. That was what I heard. I think I read it from somewhere. That is, you cause me this kind of pain, you will see. And then the family people died terribly. This one, cancer. This one, plane crash. This one, assassination. Very terrible, dangerous deaths. We prayed for one young girl some time ago. In their family, people don't cross the age of, they don't reach 30. Young girls. She was from the southern part of this country. What happened? That their grandfather, they were burying, when he died, he was a king. And they said in those days that the last wife of the king will escort him to eternity. Escort him, that is, bury her alive. And she was 29 years. And she was 30 years. And she was cursing. What did I do? You want to kill me? You are burying me alive. What did I do? This family will never see any girl reach this age. Since you have killed me at this age, nobody can reach this age from this family. Be careful the wickedness you perpetrate. It will catch up with you and your generation. Be careful. So every girl was 29, they are cut short. By the time they will reach 29, they have to be cut short. They couldn't reach 30 until divine intervention. Yes, the iniquity of sin. What do you do to handle the iniquity of sin? Number one, confess the sin and its iniquity to God. We read already in Psalm 32 verse 5. Psalm 32 and in verse 5, he said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins. You forgave the iniquity inside the sin. Confess it. You know the meaning of that? Lord, I am sorry for telling lies. But I am also sorry for the pain my lies cost. I am sorry for slander. I am sorry for gossip. I am sorry for backbiting. But I am also sorry for the pain my words cost. I am sorry for taking more money than I was meant to take out of that contract. I am sorry for not doing the work I was paid to do. But I am also sorry for any life that was lost because of my actions. I am sorry. You confess the iniquity, the sin and its iniquity. Number two, seek forgiveness from people you may have hurt or caused pain by your actions. Don't say, I will ask God to forgive. Ask the person. My actions hurt you. I am aware that you are not happy with my actions. I am asking God for mercy. I am asking you also for mercy. James said, confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another, that you may be healed. Ask for forgiveness from people you may have. That is the proof of authenticity of Christianity and repentance. Number three, always consider the likely consequences of your potential actions before you act. Consider. You say, come, let us reason together. Reasoning reduces sinning. If only you can reason a little, you will sin less. You will act less. You will cause less pain. Reasoning. Reason a little. Consider the likely consequences of your potential actions. Fourthly, Always consider the impact of your actions on your neighbors. Yes, this thing that I want to do, how does it impact another person? Someone say amen. How does it impact on my wife, my children, my mother, my father? Always consider the impact of your actions on your neighbors. Number five, always apply for the grace of God to stand firm in uprightness. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, all the way to verse 12. You say, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to deny ungodliness. Lord, I'm stepping into the day today. I can't help myself. I can't do the things I am meant to do correctly without your help. Help me to do right. And I believe the Lord will help us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that actions have consequences. And don't ever forget that you might just take a step, and that step can lead you to multiple steps, like we saw concerning David in the first service. There are actions you take that, and you never plan for the following, the reactions that follow. I believe that the Lord will help us. But there is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. Stand up on your feet where you are and lift up your hands and your voices and appreciate him for his word to you this morning. Lift your voice and appreciate him for his word to you this morning. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor and the adoration.